channeling Eric's Hour of Enlightenment.
Hello, welcome to the show, everybody. I don't know, I'm getting tired of that opening. Maybe I should get another one made. What do y'all think? But not for now. For now, we will talk to my son, Eric Medhus. Hey, Eric.
Well, carry on, he says. We'll carry on.
He is my 21-year-old son. I love you, too, who died a few years ago, and now he's going to help you guys navigate through the human experience. And we have his spirit translator, Kim Babcock, here. Hey, Kim, what's up?
Hello, hello. Thank you. I'm just excited. Eric, as always, has a lot to say, and today's no exception. So we have a continuation of last week's show. Was it last week or the week before? I can't remember anymore.
I think
about color.
The week before, yes. We started talking about color, and now we're going to concentrate on color therapy. So he's going to give you hopefully some really practical advice that can allow you to help heal yourself, for example. Colors are very powerful. We are energy. Color is energy. Energy affects energy.
It does, Mom, he says.
But
he
before we start, I want to say, hey, shout out to liveparanormal.com for giving us this venue so that we can have this show for you guys. So thank you, liveparanormal.com. Check them out. They've got some awesome shows. Take it away, Eric.
Right.
Color therapy.
Right. He's like drumming for himself. He's providing his own drum roll. He says, let's do
okay.
it.
Okay.
So, and he takes a bow for himself. He's so funny. So he likes to give you guys, sometimes you guys know he'll shift his perspective and his approach. Sometimes he takes a very esoteric approach and it feels almost abstract. And other times he really grounds his energy to you guys and what you need and gives you that tangible hands-on approach. And that's what he wants to do tonight with this color therapy. Each session I do, each radio show, each private session, I take time to meditate, connect, and just tune in and start to listen to him or my guides or whoever it is. But tonight, he said, it's all about giving you guys ideas and things you can do, like putting things in your hands so that you can be, so that you have your own self-help methods, he says. So there's a lot of approaches he wants to take with us tonight. He says, I want to talk to you about the vibration, the frequencies of color, how you can feel yourself and get to know yourself on those levels of resonance, and then also things that you can do, like especially in your home or the space you spend the most time, he says, things that you can do with color to rehab yourself, to heal yourself. So first he wants to talk about, he says, talk about the colors and the effects on the mind or the mood. And he says, let's face it. Oh, my God.
Uh-oh. Brace yourself, people.
He loves to pick on me. So he apparently does not like the color of my bedroom. So these are things that you guys can incorporate in your life is colors on your walls and colors in your home and the way that it affects your mood. So he wants you to think about this for a minute. He goes, let's face it. If you walk into a room with shit brown color on the walls, it's not going to uplift you or make you feel very good. It may provide comfort, though. It may provide that cozy feeling. Whatever it is you need, you have to figure out how you resonate with that color first. So we'll get to that a little bit deeper. But the reason why he's saying that is because the walls in my bedroom are like a chocolate color. So obviously he doesn't like my
mine
bedroom.
Mine are kind of too, yeah. I've got like a really dark taupe. So sorry, Eric.
Yeah, yeah. And then he says to think about what the colors do to your thought process. So, and again, for example, I just painted my living room on New Year's Eve teal, like turquoise. I've never really resonated with that color, but my guides were like, you got to do this. You got to bring in the new year with this big turquoise wall. So I'm like, oh, my God. So, but Eric, what he's saying is, like, well, think about what that does to your thought process. When you look at that wall and you see that color, what does it do? Does it open up and inspire thought? Or does it close down thought? Or does it close down your energy? So think about, first of all, the reactions that you have. Be mindful of the reactions, he says, of any space and the color in a space. Maybe there's a lamp that you're his verbiage tonight is so funny. He goes, maybe there's a lamp in a certain room that when you walk in, you're like, this is what he says, Jesus Christ, why is that lamp so damn bright? Someone turn it off. That's what he says. So, okay, what is it about the color or the tone of that light? Why is it, you know, the brightness, the vibration? So listen and be mindful to how you react and what it does to your mood, because that's going to tell you a lot about you. For example, again, if you go into a room and maybe you have a salt lamp, how does it make you feel? Does it make you... God, he's on a roll tonight.
Oh, my God, he's so
mad. He goes, some people walk in and be like, well, shit, I don't feel anything. It's a lamp, whatever. He's like, and if you're one of those people saying that, then you got to tune in. You got to connect to your heart again and listen, he says. So anyway, trying to keep this boy on track. He says, if you look at like the color of a salt lamp and you like it because maybe the color is soothing, listen to be mindful of how it affects your mood. Does it make you feel calm? Does the color make you feel anxious? And he says, it's really simple. Adjust your environment accordingly. So he says, yes, you have to find balance between fitting your needs or what feels right in a space, and also kind of stepping outside of that to get used to something way different. You know, for example, like I've never been a turquoise person, but I have a huge wall in my living room now that's turquoise. So, but he says, like, listen to what that does to you or how it pushes you into a new state of awareness.
And what effect has it had on you, Kim?
Honestly, every time, I know it sounds so silly, but every time I look at this giant blue wall, I feel inspiration. I feel open. I feel free and, like, uplifted.
Good.
So it's interesting. And I'm going to try not to attach to his ideas, but now I'm looking at these brown walls in my bedroom like, okay, maybe it's time to paint.
You got your weekend honeydew for your husband.
Yeah, I think so. I think Eric's trying to make me a honeydew.
You know, it seems like sheets on the bed. It seems like sheets on the bed would be very important. We spend so much time in bed.
Yeah.
That the color of the sheet got to be huge.
Yeah, he says there's so many things you can do around your home to incorporate color to inspire yourself. And, of course, he says, Mom, it's all about the vibration of that inspiration is where the healing comes from. So if it inspires you to be a little more outgoing, if it inspires you to be a little more talkative, a little more creative, or intimate, listen to the way these colors inspire you, because there's so many easy things, tips and tricks, he says, that you can do at home. You can change the lighting in a room to a certain color, a certain shade. he's like, oh my gosh. He goes, let's say you want to get freaky, put in like a lower color light bulb, like a red, you know, to set the tone, like a real soft, deep red, if you want to, you know, set the tone for intimacy or whatever. Darker tones usually do that, he says. So you can change light bulbs in your rooms to set a certain tone and change the mood and have an effect on you. You can paint a room, like let's say you have a lounge space. You can have even just, he goes, even stupid shit, like throw pillows and blankets. You can have them be a certain color that affects your mood a certain way. But listen to yourself when you look, like if you're looking for these items at the store or around your house and you go, I like looking at that color, it makes me feel good, then do more of that. He says, incorporate more of that. If it's violet, then dwell in it. If it's peach, then dwell in it. So,
well, you know, what about if you are going to do some public speaking, you can, you know, put blue sheets. I guess they make blue sheets, or wear blue clothes or a blue suit or a blue tie, etc. Is that true? because that's the throat chakra, blue.
Yeah. He says, of course, blue tones, blue hues help to stimulate freedom in that sense, like freedom, so that you feel free without fear to speak and influenced. Mm-hmm. And he says to tell you guys, like, you don't have to get attached to crystals. Crystals help, of course, but you don't have to think, well, is this a real turquoise or is it artificial turquoise? It really doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's the color. You know, of course, the natural crystals are wonderful, but he says it really doesn't matter. It's the color that creates the vibration, that creates the healing, and has an effect on the mind and the mood and your energy. So just real quick, he wants me to share. My mom can't wear turquoise because she actually will say things that she wouldn't normally say. Like, she can become really verbally abrasive. Yeah, she's like, I would never say that. It just when I wear turquoise, I can't control myself. So she gave it all away to my sister. So.
Oh my gosh.
If you open up to that frequency, then you can really open up to a whole new self-awareness. So be mindful in that process, though. How do you feel? You know, if you don't resonate with a color, then you don't need it right now. So pay attention to what triggers an emotional reaction, he says.
There we go.
And
that's true.
Change your mood by, you know, different things around your house, the lamps, even pictures. I mean, even if it's just art, he says, with a certain palette in mind. Maybe you're someone who likes to get out in nature, but if you can't, then maybe you have a picture on your wall of nature with the colors, you know, vibrant greens and stuff.
Can't you just think of a color? Also, do you have to surround yourself with the actual color, or can you just surround yourself in your mind with blue lights or whatever?
Yep, exactly. And that's what he was saying at the beginning of the show about getting to know yourself and feel yourself at that vibration too. So that's a whole nother dynamic of like shifting your awareness deep into your own self.
Mm-hmm.
And then just think and feel and see and smell and taste the color red. And again, don't expect it to be a certain way. Don't force it to be a certain way. Just receive and accept. And that too will like attune or tone your vibration, he says, to that frequency. If he's kind of saying, like, if you have a hard time imagining a color or seeing yourself surrounded in it, it takes practice, but it's, again, if you're having a hard time, it's because you're probably trying to force it. Just accept the way you see it. You might see anything from, like, light lavender to a deep violet, but there's no right or wrong. So accept the color that you receive.
Well, what about, all right, this will be the last question, and we'll take callers, but what about if you have, like, cancer? How do you know what color to surround yourself in to help heal yourself, and can you heal yourself from a disease like that?
He says, to answer your last question, he says, of course, you can always heal yourself. But, Mom, he says, the hard part is getting people to believe in themselves and also getting them to be mindful of what their thoughts and emotions do to their body. He says, Mom, people over-identify so much with their emotions that's the only self that they know is the emotional self, and that's where illness is born. So if you can know yourself beyond that, then you won't have to deal with that shit, he says. But so with healing cancer, he says, well, it depends on the root cause of it as to how you could heal yourself. Maybe if it's stomach cancer, then look into the vibrational frequency of that part of the body. Look at yellows, look at oranges, and red, the warmer tones, Mom, he says. But too, the purest advice he wants to give is, let's say that you are suffering from cancer and you want to do color therapy on yourself, whether it's light bulbs, crystals, color therapy through food, whatever it may be, listen again to what color makes you feel higher. When you see a color and you're like, oh, man, I just love that color. I love to look at it. I feel great when I look at it. Like, you know, when you feel uplifted by a color or inspired, sort of excited, then bring more of that into your life, however you need to, he says. So not to necessarily fixate too much on associating it with the chakras. He says that's important, but listen deeper to what color you naturally resonate with. Because someone with, he says, someone with throat cancer very well, you know, may be triggered in a great way with the color red, which is, you know, much lower in the body than the throat. But
yeah,
maybe they're carrying root issues at the throat, and that's why it manifested in the throat as cancer.
So, interesting.
There's a lot of ways
that's
to look
great.
At this, but yeah, he says just to truly, if you're inspired by a color, there's a reason for it. Get to know yourself on that level. So you can look at what the chakras represent and their colors, get to know yourself on that level. And most of the time you'll be attracted to it because that's where you're vibrating. So and that's where your awareness is. So be mindful of that too and what that says. Maybe you need more of it. Maybe you need less of it. Sometimes people can carry
too much.
And
you can do this with your children too. If your children are having attention problems, I mean, how do you get them to figure out what color they resonate with the most? Or do you sort of say,
yeah,
well, for attention, we need this color?
Yeah, he's saying oftentimes children with attention disorders are overstimulated. They're very easily overstimulated by, like,
mm-hmm,
any kind of external stimuli, whether it's sound or, you know, visual, whatever. So those, to calm that stimulation, he's like, think of grounding colors, like deep, deep tones, like a deep purple, a soothing red, like deep blue, like almost like a navy blue. Those colors
okay
are going to be more subtle, he says. Like the neons
okay
and the higher frequency colors are going to be a little bit brighter and, like, louder as far as attention stimuli. So
that's
says,
awesome.
He just says, you guys just play around with colors and get to know where you resonate and what that says about you. He says, before long, you're going to see people walking around going, yeah, I'm a blue, I'm a purple, that's my color, that's me. So don't hesitate to know your color and fly that flag, he says.
Fly your freak flag, babies. Yeah,
right,
sounds great.
Right.
Thank you so much, Eric. You ready
he
to
says,
take some calls?
Anything I can do to help. He says, anything I can do to help,
all
let's
right
do it.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, we got the first caller is from the 727 area code. Hi there, how are you doing?
Oh, hi, hi, Elise and Eric and Kim. My name is Robin. Hi.
Hi,
I'm
Robin.
Very, very pleased to hear from you and to be able to have this opportunity to talk to you. Elise, you've already touched on a few things that I've had in my mind. Was in a previous transmission, Eric had brought up the point that people have the ability, the innate ability, to help, you know, cure their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she touched a little bit on that with the color therapy. And, I appreciate all that information. Is there anything else potentially supplement-wise or sound therapies that would be beneficial? And part B of the question is, if you have a major health concern.
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
he's showing, before I would even recommend supplements, which I do all the time, by the way, he says, and he's like, wink, wink. so he's always willing to give that information, but he says, I want you to look inside yourself first. Supplements are, think of them as like icing on the cake. Like, it's great we have access to things like that that can help.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
He says, okay, supplements are going to do what you tell them to, which is a whole new topic that we could talk about. So you take a supplement. It's just like the whole concept of a placebo, too. It's what the mind is telling the body. Like, the mind tells the body how to respond. I'm going to take this so I have no more inflammation, or I'm going to take this so I have good, solid digestion. So the body responds to what you tell it. The body believes you at the cellular level. So this we have to be very mindful of. He says, he's kind of going off on a tangent. He says, why do you think we have, a lot of people have problems with obesity? Because they sit around and say all the time, I'm fat. I don't like my body. I'm fat. I'm too overweight. I don't care. I'm fat. Well, your body will respond and manifest the same. So in reverse, to reverse that thought sort of, when we're looking at trying to heal ourselves, first we have to, you know, it's all about the thought, the power of the mind and our intentions, because the body responds to our thoughts and believes our thoughts, again, at the cellular level. So first of all, though, he says the key is, and he keeps grounding and saying, Mom, the key, Mom, is they have to understand that they have to believe in their body's ability to heal. If you do all these things, if you take all these supplements, but you still feel defeated and identified with this health crisis, you'll never get over it. You'll never get through it or past it. The health crisis is never the real you. It's just an illusion. It's manifesting. So, you know, those people that over-identify with their health problems never can seem to gain any headway, because that's all they know. They don't believe in their body's ability to move through it and heal. So first he tells you to work at that level. And then he's kind of getting a little more specific about visualization. Like, let's say it's like liver disease or something. And then you go into, he wants you to, okay, just imagine, take a look at your liver. What do you see? Just let the images come to you. Do you see a bunch of white? Does it feel flexible? Does it feel stiff? He says, okay, ask it, what is the function like? So this is basically a matter of putting your awareness into that affected part of the body and inquiring, you know, gaining information, because you're putting your consciousness there, and then being able to change its state just with your mind, with your thoughts. So it's kind of like, here's an example he wants me to share. One time this lady had some back issues and wanted to know, you know, ask Eric what's going on with my back. So he was like, well, let's go inside and see. And he, like, literally took me inside her spine and showed me, I don't even know what they're called. Elisa, fill me in, like, the foramina or something, like the foramen.
Oh, yeah.
Spine. Yeah. Like those holes.
The little holes where the nerve roots come out, yeah.
Yeah, where the nerves pass through. And so I could see it inflamed, and like it looked like the nerves were even frayed, like, you know how you'd see frayed rope or something.
Mm-hmm.
So there was like some inflammation and stuff going on. So basically, just trust yourself enough to go to that part of the body and see what's going on and see what it needs. So okay, this lady needed, you know, a wider opening for her nerves to pass through. So visualize that. And trust that. But you have to overcome the barrier of, well, yeah, but does it really work? Or yeah, but, you know, because...
A great book is by Bruce Lipton called The Biology of Belief. And belief can change biology. It can even change DNA. It's actually amazing. I would really recommend that to you. Robin, do you have a specific question at all for Eric before we go on to the next caller?
Yes, I do, actually. The part B to that question is, I have a young adult son who is suffering from bipolar disorder, and I'm really very, very concerned about having to break this potentially bad news to him. And I want to do it in such a way that I don't, you know, send him off into a tailspin, of course. And I was just wondering, you know, since I understand that Eric may have had the same condition, what would he recommend? How can I do this to make it as, you know, easy on all of us? Because ultimately, if I say some, it's kind of like a catch-22. If I give him bad news, then he, you know, gets depressed. And then that kind of ends up back on my plate. So what
Erickson's don't predetermine the outcome. So first
I'm
of
sorry.
All, he says, first of all, don't predetermine the outcome. So by you already going there in your mind, like, okay, I'm going to give him the news and he's going to react like this. Of course, it's in our human nature to want to think it out like that and play it out. But then in doing so, we're creating that reality. So he says, like, stop yourself right there and give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, maybe he takes it a little bit better than you anticipate. Or don't have any attachments to the outcome at all. But then he also says, if I were in your son's shoes, I would want you to come from a place of, like, hey, I can relate, you're suffering, and so am I. This is what I'm going through.
Right.
So, because when you can stand on that common ground with him, instead of like, here, I'm going to dump this on you, instead of doing that, come from a place of like standing on the same grounds, common grounds, and say, you know, hey, I can relate because I'm kind of going through something too, and we'll get through this together. Then it kind of
great idea.
Even suggests for you to talk to your son about, here's some ways I could help you. And I think maybe you could help me. So to give him power in the situation, basically, like, how, you know, here's what I got going on. How would you deal with it? So because basically you, in asking him that, you know, you give him power in the situation so he doesn't feel, like, helpless or hopeless.
Does
that
make sense?
Awesome. I love that. And the last thing I want to do is, you know, is to burden him or, you know, to be that the news that I would have to give him would not, like I said, you know, send him into a depression. We're just coming off the holidays. We just got over that. So we should be good for a couple months. I really appreciate it.
This sounds so spot on, Eric. I just feel that this is totally right. Robin, thank you for calling in, and I wish you the best. We're all praying for you. I put on the blog for people to pray for you and seal,
send
healing
and
energy.
God bless all of you. And Elias, I can't even tell you my gratitude. I mean, this has helped me tremendously. And I'll keep you. I'll let you know what's going on. Hopefully,
yeah. All right, Robin.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Let's take another caller. Let me see who's next here. Just a moment. Uh-oh. My phone is ringing. That's not good. 97. Well, somebody I don't know, so it's okay. All right. Let's see here. How about somebody from the 952 area code? Next in line. 952. Hi. How are you doing?
Are you talking to me? 952806.
Yes, I sure am.
Okay.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Hi, Elisa, Kim, and Eric. My son-in-law has been suicidal for the last 2 years. He's been depressed all his whole life, but it's gotten really bad the last 2 years. And he's on all sorts of different medications, and then he switches them to different ones, and nothing is helping him so far. He's actually getting worse. So what kind of treatment would help him?
This is a situation where it's really difficult because Eric says, this is so hard. It's hard for me to not sound cold and callous, you know, just as a translator. But Eric says, this is a situation where it's only going to help if someone wants it to, and I don't think he wants it to. So I think that's why we're exhausting all of these different things and nothing's working. It's getting worse because I don't think he wants it to. So first, Eric says he wants to kind of explain where he's coming from. It seems like your son-in-law, is that what you said, your son-in-law?
Yes, that's my son-in-law.
Okay. So he feels, Eric says that he feels like blocked off, but it's in his own head and his own thoughts. Like he's created this feeling and this reality for himself. And he's living it, believing it, and employing it in his heart. So it seems like he feels blocked off and like misunderstood, like he doesn't fit in and unaccepted. So But yeah. These are all just things at the subconscious level that he hasn't worked on or achieved with himself. Like, so accepting himself, understanding
mm-hmm.
himself. But sometimes we get tangled up with the mind, and then we become delusional to what reality actually is. So I think for him, he's going to be someone who's very difficult to penetrate with medication because he doesn't believe for it to work. He's not open in a way to just take a medication and have an effect because he says at some vibrational level, you have to have some level of vulnerability to that medication, meaning when you take something, having some sort of faith in it, that it's going to help or change. So I think for him, he has such a vibration because Eric says when you connect to the medication, whatever it is, even if it is a placebo and you're open to it having a certain effect, you create a vibrational thread to connect to it and the effects of it and so on. So it seems like he's very jaded in his faith for anything to actually help him. He's very resistant. So being able to penetrate that first is the key. And I don't think medication is going to do it. Eric is showing him, like, he needs to get out of his normal routine. Like, he needs to go to a retreat, another place or something where he maybe goes through some counseling or something like a weekend retreat or something to at least change his thought patterns. They even have like a starting place. Cause he's in a very closed off position. Like I don't think he's really open in the heart with something having a positive effect. So if Eric says, if I were to suggest something, it would be travel because it forces him to be vulnerable, which is what he needs right now.
Do you have any specific
suggestions like
as far as location or anything?
What was that, Elisa?
Do you have any specific ideas on where this retreat would be, where this trip would be?
Yeah, let me see what he says. But he does say it sounds almost counterintuitive, like to get him to a vulnerable place, because we would think, well, he's already vulnerable because he's like this, but actually he's not in a vulnerable place. He's not in an open place. So that, I guess, travel, Eric says, would force him to be vulnerable and change his thought patterns enough to consider even just different thought processes. when I ask Eric if he can like recommend a place that he go for like a retreat, the first thing that I heard was Costa Rica. I have no knowledge about like spiritual retreats there, but then he also shows, if I'm looking at the United States, he's suggesting a couple. He also shows the East Coast. So to look along the lines of, like, the Carolinas and see if there's, like, some spiritual hot spot for where people go to just have, like a spiritual retreat experience or something to that effect. Because I think right now he doesn't have faith in doctors or medications. He needs, like, an earthly approach, tangible approach. So to start there. But it just seems like he's very jaded with the whole process. Like, he's very irritated. It's one of those situations where you have to be very gentle in your approach, he says, so as to not, like, have it backfire and make it worse. So just be very gentle. What can you do to help him? This is one of those things, he says, in so many aspects this applies, in this case too, to just validate him. Instead of saying, I'm going to change you like this, or we can help you change like that, or let's try this, let's try that. Because we're chasing all of these illusions that aren't the true self. So just validating who he is and where he is. Like, as a son-in-law, maybe as a husband, as a father, as a brother, whatever he may be, just validate him and what he's going through. I understand it's hard. I hear you. I'm
mm-hmm.
right here, you know, without trying to take action. So just be with him in that space.
Okay. How about sending him healing? I've been doing that.
Yeah, of course. If you know, send him and envision him in a higher vibration, anything higher with like the highest good, his highest good at heart, that'll help transmute these lower vibrational feelings and emotions to a degree.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
And get other people in the family to do the same thing if they're open to it.
Yeah.
No, they're not. Okay, I'm the only one in the family. Mm-hmm.
Well, we can fill in.
Yeah, we can help.
Pardon?
Everybody,
okay.
Everybody do that. Help him. Send him high vibrational frequencies.
What's
I hope that helps.
Can I ask his first name? If you don't want to disclose it, that's totally fine.
His first name?
Uh-huh.
Keith.
Okay, perfect.
All right.
Well, I'll try to do some remote Reiki from what I can when I get off the phone.
Any particular color that's good for him for a remote healing?
Ooh, good question.
Yep, good question, yep. When you ask that, the first thing that I see is, blue and purple.
Okay.
Yep, and he's actually, this is interesting, when you asked about colors for him, his heart is red. So he's dealing with a lot of root issues that are weighing on his heart. So really interesting. I'll open up and see what I can do after the show's over.
Okay.
Reiki.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you, all three of you, okay? Thank you.
I wish you the best. Remember, just be in the space with him. Just validate him.
Okay. Okay, I will. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Very important.
Yes. Thank you. Bye.
I'm going to take a little break and say that I really am grateful to liveparanormal.com. This is a station ID. So you guys know that without them, we are nothing, nowhere. We can't do our thing. All right, let's take one from the 210 area code.
Hi
there. How are you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. I'm doing good. I just want to say thank you to you and to Eric and to Kim. We appreciate everything y'all have done for us. Thank you. Ask Eric a question. I know it might sound silly, but I can just ask him to be with my husband tomorrow. He's going through a hard time with work, and he just needs him to help him articulate when he talks. Not that I think he has that issue, but that's what he feels. And if Eric has any information, and since you're talking about color, what are good colors for my husband?
Oh, that's a great question. That's fantastic, because when you said, be with my husband tomorrow, the very first thing Eric showed was strengthening verbal energy. So really interesting that you went on to say, to help him articulate. It seems like your husband's going to have some eyes on him. Like, I don't know if it's his boss he's got to talk in front of or give a speech or something, but he's going to have some eyes on him, but it's almost like proving his place or selling something, like he's pitching something. I'm not sure what this is, but he's got to give information. Eric says he has to believe in what he's sharing. When you believe in what you're sharing, articulation is easy. It's easy as a piece of cake, he says. So tell him to believe in what he's sharing and not the fear of if it's going to be received or not, because that becomes irrelevant, Eric says. And I know that probably sounds hopefully not dismissive, but he says if he's passionate about and believes in what he's going to share and articulate, he'll have no problem. So to start there, as far as colors, what colors could he wear? He's actually showing him, if he were to suggest a color or have something on him, like a navy blue, like a deep blue, because it's the throat chakra color to stimulate, but it's in a calming way. So we don't want to overstimulate and get him to where he's talking or chattering to where he rambles on and can't articulate. We want to ground him in it. So that's why he's going to
a darker blue.
Yeah, like a calming, soothing, like navy blue. So if you got any navy blue socks, give them to him. If you've got anything that's like a deep blue, even just have him visualize the color if you don't have any tangible items. just have him connect to the color and visualize like a nice, deep, deep navy blue. And that'll bring him calmness with verbal expression.
I actually washed that shirt this morning, now that you say that, but since he is going to be doing it tomorrow, what does his boss actually think of him? What does Eric have anything on that?
Ooh, he could maybe share a little bit, but that's almost too much, crossing barriers. What is his first name? Do you know his boss's first name?
I don't know the first name of
What is your husband's first name?
Mike.
Mike, okay. So you're asking about Mike's boss and what Mike's boss thinks of him?
Let's see.
I'll be honest, this is what Eric is showing. It's like a, I don't know what he's going in for, but it's almost a moment of like, okay, show yourself, like prove yourself, like show me what you got kind of thing. So I don't know if your husband has to like draw up a report or a proposal or something, but it's kind of like, I want to see what you're made of, because I think his boss believes, it seems like his boss believes that Mike is more capable than what he's giving, doing, and showing, and he's trying to pull that out of him. It's like he believes in his potential and wants him to work hard to prove it to himself. So I don't know if they're like coming down hard on him, but it seems like that's the way it's being perceived. So
okay. I hope that helps.
It does.
Good luck.
Thank
let
you.
Us know how it goes. Let us know how everything goes tomorrow.
I will indeed. I appreciate it.
Take care. Give
Thank you.
Blue shirt.
Y'all have a good night.
You
I will.
Too.
I already watched it like I said this morning. Y'all have a good one. Thank you, Erin.
Perfect.
Perfect.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Let's all root for him. Root for my people.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. All right. Let me see here. Got somebody from. Let's see. The 206 area code. There we go.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, how are you doing? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I have a few questions, a quick questions for Eric. Maybe he can
Just one question for everybody, just to let you know so we can take. What is your most important question?
Yeah, are we living in a flat planet? Are we living, like in the Bible says, that we are living in a flat earth? And is the moon factory made defense satellites? And are we connected to a matrix, like a supercomputer? And that's it. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
Okay. Elisa, I don't know if you can repeat, but I didn't hear the question.
Say that one more time. Okay. Are we living in a flat planet, a flat Earth, like in the Bible?
Are we living on a flat Earth? Is the Earth flat?
Yes. And is the moon factory made?
Wait, one at a time.
Eric is very straightforward. He has his hands crossed in front of him, so he's trying to show humility, and he just says no. Like, as far as is the Earth flat, he says no. He doesn't
elaborate
much.
And the question about the moon?
He's very matter-of-fact.
Is
the moon factory made defense satellite?
Is the moon what?
It's a factory made.
Is the moon factory made?
Yes. Factory made.
Oh, is the moon a factory made satellite? Okay.
Yeah. Defense.
Oh, interesting.
Satellite.
He says no, it's not factory made. But as far as it acting like a satellite or. He could get into that, like not necessarily calling it a satellite, but the way that it affects frequencies, vibrations, and how we communicate. He could get into that a little bit, maybe on a different show or something, but he says, no, it's not factory made.
Okay, and is the sun hot and it gives light, or is not hot and it doesn't give light, only energy?
Okay, if I heard the question is the sun hot? Is that right, Elisa?
Yes.
Did I hear it right?
Yeah,
yes,
let me tell you, summers in Houston, I can just vouch for that. It is hot. But that's probably, we've had a couple of questions now, so it's time for us to go on to a different caller. I'm so sorry. I hope that helped you, though.
Yeah,
Thank you. Interesting
perspective and questions there. But
yeah, very much. I've never heard questions like that.
It's hot.
Maybe all you know. Okay, thank you for taking my call.
Yep,
you're so welcome.
Cool question.
All right, let's take one from the 316 area code, 316. Hi there, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi. Who's
hi there.
Who are we talking to?
Hi. This is Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Welcome, Michelle.
What you got for Eric?
I want to know, have I been abused when I was a child?
Wow. When you said, I want to know,
yes,
and you paused, Eric said past life. So
past life.
I think that he's acknowledging where you're coming from emotionally with this question, and he says past life. Now, to answer your question, though, were you abused as a child in this life?
Uh-huh.
He shakes his head no, but he's only answering this question to the degree of physical abuse. He says verbal and emotional abuse, that's a whole other question. He acknowledges, like, yeah, I feel like there's been some abuse there. He says to pay attention because, it's almost like projection, like projecting fears. So be mindful of the fears that you host, but even project. If you think, you know, perhaps being abused by someone, are you projecting that because you're just afraid of that person, or have you actually had that experience? He says in past lives you have actually quite a few times been, and then he even goes on to say in foster homes. You've been through foster homes and experienced abuse. It feels more verbal and emotional, but I think for you, you're so sensitive that it feels physical, he says.
Yeah, I hate it.
Now, he says, but now it's time to remember you're not then. You're now, and that's all you can ever be. So don't hold that and don't regurgitate it over and over, he says, to where it keeps hurting and keeps damaging you. I know that's
really
hard.
Trying.
It's a lot easier said than done, but that's just advice from Eric.
Past life
really
regression might help.
Huh?
You know, past life regression might be something very positive for you.
Yeah, I'm trying to get
true.
Into that, but I can't. I was going to say, the reason why I'm asking is because I had, when I was younger, I had times where I ended up abusing my pets, or I have abused my son. And I don't know why, you know, I'm trying to remember what's happened to me, because I know something's happened to me, I just don't remember.
It could be the past life, the other life, I should say, since there's no time.
Yeah. And sometimes, Eric says, sometimes you don't have to remember. It's just about being present in the now and changing the patterns now, like being aware of it now and changing those patterns. So it's not always about going back and remembering. It's about taking action now, he says. So
yeah, how do you forgive yourself for that? I mean, I feel like if there's a hell, I should go there.
Oh, no, don't say that.
No.
Those are, it's having, he says to remind you to have faith in something greater than yourself and know your place inside that greatness too, like that you belong back to that greatness. So don't let the ego chew you up and say, you know, you belong in this place, you should be punished and you're bad. Because there's no bad and good. Every soul has to evolve in a certain way through certain circumstances, and so there's purpose in everything. He says, so be it.
And a lot of times we act as relationship villains where we are supposed to, by spiritual contract, create pain for another person so that they can reap a valuable lesson. So you never know. You could be one of those.
Yep. He says you guys trusted each other to learn and grow from each other through these avenues, and that's why you incarnate together and go through these experiences, because you trust each other to provide these circumstances so you can grow and evolve through, you know, whatever it may be, regret, heal, and get past it.
Yeah.
I think that you would benefit by an hour-long session with one of the mediums that I use, Kim or, you know, anybody else. I think that there's some healing that needs to be done. But I hope that helped you, at least get you started on the right path.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, Kim, if I could afford you, I would.
Oh. Well, we'll get there. We'll get there one way or another.
Okay.
Of course.
Oh, I was going to ask one more question.
We can only take one question per caller.
One question per caller. I'm sorry. There's so many people holding. Next time.
It is 651
but
anyway.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. It helped me a lot.
Oh,
I hope
bye-bye.
So. Yeah, I forgot to announce that. One question per caller. One per customer. 409 area code.
Guys.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hello.
Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi. Thank you so much. This is my first time on here.
Oh, welcome.
What's your first name?
My name is Cynthia.
And where are you calling from? 409, isn't that like Galveston or something?
About 2 hours away. It's I don't know if you're familiar with Houston, Beaumont. I'm about 30 minutes from Beaumont, real close to the Louisiana border. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. So my question, and I'm not even really sure if I can get an answer with it, but I had a recent death in the family, and I don't know.
Sorry.
Thank you. I'm not sure if he felt any pain, and that's kind of where I'm stuck at. I keep replaying everything in my mind, and I don't know if maybe I need to call back and get like a 1 hour session or something. But he was bipolar, and he was struggling with a few things. So, it was my son's father, and again, I don't know if there's any way like, Eric would even be aware of who I'm talking to. His name is David.
I'm sure he does. His name is David?
Yes.
Yeah.
So did David feel any pain?
Okay.
Did David feel any pain, Eric?
Wow. His question's really, or his answer is really powerful. Says, no, Mom, he checked out emotionally a long time before he passed, just like I did.
Mm. Yeah.
So, he says, when you check out emotionally, like a lot of people do, you know, when they struggle with the mind, depression or, you know, whatever it may be, bipolar, he says a lot of people check out emotionally long before they pass, and then they hit that, it's that state of complete detachment, complete surrender, where he doesn't like the word numb, but that's the best word he can use to describe the feeling, like a complete numb state where you're not affected by anything one way or another. And it feels, the way Eric is talking about it, feels just the same to me as what like actual consciousness is, where there's no identification with anything anymore. It's just pure being. And in that place, you can't be hurt. You can't get hurt. So he went
to
that
place. Is he okay now?
Before he
came home.
Is he
happy now?
He says he's fine, Mom. Of course he's fine. And then when you said, is he happy now? This must be a very new transition, because Eric says he's developing. Like he's literally showing a snowball going down a hill and getting bigger and bigger. So what that means symbolically is he's evolving in the realm of what happiness actually is. So it's not a linear process, but he's evolving. Like, so he's embodying more and more at the energetic level of what happiness actually is.
Oh, that's good.
So he's ascending. He's moving up vibrationally, literally just by allowing, because he... It's a biofeedback, Mom. He says he's feeling good vibrations and responding in a way that opens himself up to more. And so he feels good vibrations, like higher, as he ascends higher vibrationally and sheds the human self. He feels better. He raises up vibrationally, and then he opens up more. So it's like back and forth, back and forth. He rises, he opens up, and so on. So he's contributing to his own happiness, but he is learning what happiness is. He was very attached. He had a lot of earthly attachments to, like, expectations and outcomes, which we all do, but I think that he was really deep in them, and I think that's where a lot of his suffering and pain came from.
Mm. Yes, he had three sons, and we had her two from a previous marriage relationship that he pretty much was a father to my other two children. And I had a dream after he died where he said that nothing I would have done would have saved him. I mean, was that me just creating that in my subconscious? I mean,
probably
could that
lucid dream.
Yeah, Eric says, no, that's him trying to give you peace with it.
Oh, hope so.
I
hope that helps. So. We have to end off the show now before we run into the other show. They are not happy with me when I do that. So I hope that helped you.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Sure,
I appreciate it.
I'm sending you my love and hugs and prayers. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you, Eric.
You're so welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
You bet. So you guys can get in touch with Kim Babcock at www.kimbabcock.net. She's got a lot of events coming up, one in Laguna Beach, California. If you check out her website, you can find out when. And she's got things going on pretty soon in Brisbane and Edinburgh and all sorts of stuff. She's a busy woman. And Columbus, Ohio, too. So check that out. If you want to find out more about Eric, please go to his website, www.channelingericwithak.com. And check out his YouTube channel, too, the Channeling Eric YouTube channel. He's got lots of videos.
That's right. Lots of great information there, you guys.
That's right. Okay, guys, love y'all until next Thursday, and thank you so much, Kim. I love you, Eric. You know that, right?
So welcome. He says, you know that, right? He's putting his hands on his hips and tilting his head. He says, I love you, Mom. Have a good night, everybody.
You.
Thanks so much for listening. We love you guys. Eric says, I love you all.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
Bye, guys.